Hi, this is Reverend Kip Laxon. I'm the senior pastor at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And this is my podcast of my weekly sermons. I've entitled this podcast, Preaching Now. Thank you for joining me, and I take you now to the live worship service at Muncie Memorial. Preaching Now with Pastor Kip Laxon. If I were to ask you to begin to name and identify the key characters in the Christmas story, I'm talking about the biblical Christmas story, where would you begin? I think we probably would begin with Mary, Joseph. They're key characters, and the Christ child, of course, and then there's the Magi, and then we would probably name even some of the animals, like, you know, the sheep or the camels or even the donkey. And then even the innkeeper always gets a mention as a key character, even though in the biblical Christmas story, the innkeeper is never mentioned. We hear that phrase, there was no room in the inn, and we have assumed there was an innkeeper, and that innkeeper has been depicted in art and sculpture and music down through the centuries. But almost never, if you ask someone to name the key characters of the Christmas story, almost never would anybody mention Zechariah and Elizabeth that are a part of the gospel reading. They are a part of the Christmas story. It's almost as if Zechariah and Elizabeth are standing over here saying, we're having a baby too. Hasn't anybody noticed that yet? It actually all began with them. Elizabeth was the maternal aunt of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That means that her son, John, who we call John the Baptist, was a cousin to Jesus. And Zechariah was a priest in the temple, leading people in worship and proclaiming the word of the Lord. And an angel, Gabriel, came to Zechariah and told him that even though they were up in years, they were going to have a child. Told him about it being John. John would be the one who would go before, announcing the arrival of the Messiah. And then in great confusion, and I think we have to give him credit, Zechariah had a question. After the angel made this announcement, Zechariah asked the question that all of us would ask in one way or another, how can this happen? How can I know that this is so? And instead of giving a great explanation, the angel responded to him and said, because you did not believe my words, you are going to be speechless. Can't talk until the time the child arrives. Now, you take away the voice of the preacher and you take away everything. How is he going to lead worship? How is he going to proclaim the word? How is he going to lead the people? He could not speak at the orders of the angel until the child would arrive. He is struck dumb, speechless, mute. Now, why is this a part of the Christmas story? And maybe the uncomfortableness of that is why we often skip over it or leave it out or put it on the back shelf. But actually, it's where it all begins. I want to talk for just a few moments about this silence that happened to Zechariah, because it speaks about what the Advent season is really all about. It's about listening. It's about waiting. It's about preparing. And the way that he was going to be waiting was quietly. The way he was going to be waiting was in silence. And what does that say to us? There are two key observations that I want to make about this silence that was struck upon Zechariah that he didn't ask for. The first is this, that at first it seemed like a curse. It seemed as if Zechariah was being cursed for just asking a question. How can I know that this is so? How can I know that this is going to come to pass? Beginning today and throughout all the season of Advent and even into the first Sunday in January, the Sunday of Epiphany, I'm beginning this sermon series entitled, What Child Is This? Asking the Six Questions of Christmas. In the biblical Christmas story in Matthew and Luke's gospel, there are six key questions that are asked by the characters in the story. And this is the first one. How can I know this? How can I know that this is so? This silence at first seemed like a curse. But was it? You know, I've got a question. One of these days, we're all going to get an opportunity, I think, to sit down with the God of the universe and Jesus Christ and ask a few questions about life and about why things have happened the way they have. And here's one of my questions on the long list I have, and you probably have that long list too. I want to ask him this. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who we'll get to in a couple of weeks, asked the same kind of question. When the angel, the same angel, Gabriel, showed up to her and said, "You are great with child, and you are going to give birth to a child, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be the Savior of the people," she asked, how can this be? Same kind of question. How can I know that this is so? How can this happen? But instead of being struck dumb, Mary wasn't struck dumb at all. As a matter of fact, the angel continued to tell her that she was highly favored and that God was going to bless her and God was going to use this child. What was the difference between Zechariah, who asked the same kind of question and now was speechless for all these 9 months? But Mary wasn't. It seemed like a curse. And sometimes silence makes us really uncomfortable. Silence can be loud. We live in a noisy world with all kinds of sounds and going around us, and it's hard sometimes to disconnect from that and really settle in to God's presence. That's why Advent is important. Yes, there's lots we have to do in this season, the decorating and the gift buying and the wrapping and the food and the family and all the travel and all that goes with it and the hustle and the bustle. But Advent is a time for us as the people of God to stop, to look, to listen for what God wants to say. Yes, indeed, he's struck silent. You know, I think when I think of him, I think of Thumper. You know who Thumper was? Thumper, in 1942, Walt Disney came out with a movie called Bambi, which was a big hit. It's a little deer that lived with all his creatures in the forest. And when my kids were small, we had that on an old-fashioned VHS, you know, those. They watched that and over and over and over again. And there's a part of that movie, this little bunny rabbit named Thumper, who passes on some advice that his mother told him. The advice that his mother said to him was, "If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all." You know, that's the gospel according to Thumper, and it's a good gospel that we need to hear. We tend to talk a lot, and text a lot, and say a lot. And Advent is a reminder that sometimes, within the silence, there is God trying to get our attention. But yet, we're so busy, and we're so wrapped up in what we want to do, and we're so wrapped up in the things that we think are important, that we miss what God is doing. It seemed like a curse, but it wasn't. It wasn't. No, that brings me to the second observation about this as Zechariah. No, it wasn't a curse. You know what it was? It was the call. It was a call from God to pay attention, Zechariah. I'm about to do something really life-changing. Are you listening? Are you looking? Are you ready? Pay attention. The silence, the speechlessness of Zechariah was not a curse. It was the call of God into his life. And I wonder if we can. I'm going to try really hard, and I want to challenge you to do that, to join me this Advent season, to find some place, somewhere, sometime, where we can be still in God's presence and say, "What do you want to say to me, God, this Christmas season? In the midst of all the celebration, what do you want to say? Am I listening? I'm ready, God, for you to get my attention." And I must confess, I hope I'm not struck dumb. Maybe some would think that might be a good thing, but I wouldn't want that for you. What I want is for our hearts to tune in, to say, "Okay, God, what is it you want to say? What are you calling me to do?" Just like God was calling Zechariah in a strange and unusual way. The great Harry Emerson Fosdick was for many years the pastor of the Riverside Church in New York City. He would preach to thousands of people who would come to those services. This was way back in the 1920s. Really, it was known as what we would call a megachurch, even though we didn't use those words then. Fosdick had written many inspirational best-selling books. He was also the voice of NBC Radio's religious broadcast hour. He preached to Americans around the nation. And getting close to Christmas Eve, Fosdick shared one time that he got a call just a few weeks before Christmas Eve. They were going to have multiple Christmas Eve services with all the brass and all the choirs and all the chorals and all the carols. And this person called him, who he knew as a parishioner. This individual was the director of a school for the deaf and the mute that was just a few blocks away from Riverside Church. And the man said to him, said, "Dr. Fosdick, could I prevail upon you, if you have time, to slip by on Christmas Eve and serve communion to our residents here at the school?" Now, Fosdick hesitated. He was going to be busy. It's the busiest night of the year, and he really didn't have time, he thought, and all that was going on at the church and all that. But he said, "Yes, I guess I can do that." And he kind of resented it and hesitated and even regretted it afterwards. But when Christmas Eve came and he had done a few of the Christmas Eve services, he slipped out in the dark of the night and down the few blocks and into the school. And they greeted him and welcomed him in. And he went inside, and there was their little chapel filled with people. Fosdick would say that this has proved to be one of the most profound spiritual moments in his life. He would say that this would be one of the greatest Christmas experiences he ever had. Why? He said, because there was no music, there was no organ, there was no choir. There was nothing but silence. And he said the only thing that could be heard by him was his voice saying to each person as they came forward, "The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you." And he said the only sound was the shuffling of the feet of the deaf and the mute as they came forward to receive. You see, what a lot of people didn't know, as a matter of fact, what no one else knew but his wife, Fosdick, had been struggling with depression. And he was this close to resigning his pastorate from the Riverside Church and choosing another line of work. He'd gotten tired of all of that and all of that required. And he said in that moment, in the silence, in the stillness, he heard God speaking to him. He hadn't heard it in the midst of all the music. He had not heard it in the midst of all the crowds of people, but he heard it in that moment as he was sharing bread and wine with those who could not speak and those that could not hear. He heard God say to him, "Harry, hang on. Don't give up on me. Hang in there. I still have unfinished work to do with you." Fosdick would make a life-changing commitment in that moment and would go on to serve another 30 years in ministry, touching untold multitudes of people, all because when he didn't want it, wasn't expecting it, he kind of felt chagrined to be a part of it. There in the midst of the stillness, he heard God speaking. My prayer for us this Advent, all that going on around us, that we'd find a way to still our hearts and say, "God, what is it you're calling to me about? What is the sign on God's waiting room wall? What would be the sign on the wall in God's waiting room?" I think it would be the words from Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." Shh. Be still this Advent. And you just might hear the angels speaking to you too. Shh. Be still. God is saying to Muncie Church today, "Hang in there. Hold on. I am still with you." May God give us ears, stillness to hear it. He's calling. Can you hear him? Amen.